It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 656. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or go directly to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. And let me tell you, as I am more homebound with my broken foot, God bless Instant House Call and remote access, because that is saving me, being able to remote in. Now, there's some places I have to visit, and we're going to talk about that. Instant House Call has just been a lifesaver in getting work done, and I'm going to explain some of that with some of the stories from the trenches since the break. I'm going to spend a few minutes on how my foot broke. This is going to be a longer show than normal. I have lots of content I want to talk about, lots of tips and things I ran into a few weeks ago, besides the stories from the trenches, and then some great email questions. So let's start off. I was in Atlanta on May 2nd, Wednesday, for the Shaky Knees Music Festival with my son, Ryan. That was the 4th, 5th, and 6th, was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we figured we would fly in Wednesday. We have Wednesday night and Thursday to explore and then hit the festival Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back Monday afternoon. We get down there. Everything's great. Check into the hotel, to Marriott, Fairfield Inn. We find a tremendous barbecue place that's recommended. And we go there. We have a great dinner. And we walk home, which is a long walk, you know, and we figured let's get some exercise. It was a nice night. The weather was gorgeous down there. We get back to the hotel. Everything's good. Thursday, we get up and I do a lot of walking, tremendous amount of walking, come back early afternoon to rest and decide, okay, what are we going to do for dinner? And we decide, we do some rest. We were there for a couple hours. We go back out and we decide to walk around and let's see where we end up. And we found a really nice seafood restaurant that was about a half mile away. As we were Googling, I stepped off the curb in crossing the street and felt this tinge on my left foot, on the outer part of the left side of the left foot. And it started really hurting. It wasn't like a terrible hurt, but it was hurting. We made it to the place to eat, and it just kept getting worse, to the point where now I can't walk home from the restaurant. I can't get back to the hotel. We take an Uber, we get back to the hotel, and now I'm worried, how am I going to be on Friday here? But wasn't too bad. So now, I mean, it hurt, but I could walk. Friday, we're using the hotel shuttle to go to the festival, which is like 2 miles away, short ride. I step up and I am right-handed, but I lead with my left foot all the time when I'm walking. I plant that left foot to get into the van. Oh my God, the pain was just so insane. The pain was now shooting up my leg and through the foot. I get out of the van and go to the festival. I find the medical tent. I'm their first casualty. I go in and they're all excited. Oh, we got someone here to, you know, and the paramedic looks at my foot, says to me, I don't think it's broke, but let's wrap it because it's starting to swell up. She wraps it with tape, a couple ACE bandages. I put my sock back on, make my sneaker real loose so my foot can go in. And they give me some ibuprofen, send me on my way. And with it being wrapped so tight, it's almost like a cast, I was able to survive the first day and the first night. Saturday morning, I use the ACE bandages that they gave me. And even Friday night, I got ice at the hotel when we got back. And I iced up my foot to help with the swelling. And that kind of got me through Saturday a little bit. Sunday was real bad. Sunday, the foot was really hurting. There was nothing I can do. I'm popping pain meds, and it's still not helping me. I get through everything. Monday, we're flying back. I get to Atlanta's airport. I cannot no longer walk. It's so bad that after we check in, I said, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to the gate. My foot hurts. They said, you know what? Hold on. They get a wheelchair, and I am wheeled through Atlanta's airport to the gate. That saved me. We fly home. My son picks me up. I go to bed in serious pain. I know something is wrong. So Tuesday morning, I get up, and I'm the first patient at the Ultra Care, and they take an X-ray, and they said, it's broke. You have what they call a Jones fracture, and it's the fifth metatarsal fracture. And I am going to need a boot cast for 6 to 12 weeks. We want to check it at 6 weeks. And we already started discussing surgery. They said, with this kind of break, some people opt and want a screw inserted. And we discussed that. So basically, we decided we would wait for the 6 weeks. I would have my foot examined again and new X-rays and see how it's going. And at that time, decide whether we're going to have the surgery or not, whether we need it. Because if it's not repairing, then I got to go for the screw. And then I don't know how long it's going to take for me to heal. So right now, my life has been altered significantly with this big boot cast. Thank God I can take it off. I take it off every morning to shower. Pain management has been difficult. I have a call into a doctor for tomorrow that I'm going to discuss pain management with him because I got to be able to exist. I have to be able to take pain medication. They gave me some, but it was real bad. I had a bad reaction and throwing up. We got to get the right pain med that doesn't make me too loopy but gets rid of the pain. I also got to stop walking on it. I take a couple days over the weekend and I don't do anything, but I've had to visit a new client last week, an opportunity. And this is why Thursday I was exhausted and there was no show last Thursday night. Thursday morning I got up and visited a new opportunity that I didn't want to cancel or reschedule. So think of me going in, and I got, you know, my dress slacks on, but you could clearly see there's a boot sticking out of it. That made such an impression. I landed a client that seen me not change the schedule, not ask for any. I showed up with a broken foot. That made a huge impact to the point where we scheduled my son this week, actually, to go out and start the analysis of the systems and making my recommendations, and we're going to go forward. Glad to have a new client. There's some clients that I have to be on site. Every Tuesday, I have to be on site. So this is a challenge walking. I don't have crutches. The urgent care tried the crutches before as they sent me to an orthopedic doctor, Rothman Institute. It just didn't take. Now, I didn't give it a lot of time, but I'm hobbling and I got to be careful. I always lead with my left foot. Going up steps is the biggest challenge. So I try to avoid steps at all costs. So it's altered my business. Last Thursday afternoon, I needed my son on site. I was supposed to be there and I couldn't do it. But it was great having my son be my ears and eyes and using instant house call to remote in. It worked great for a client. Friday had a big QuickBooks update where we were going from QuickBooks 2015 to QuickBooks 2018. They have a server, so I had to update the database manager. we had multiple workstations. We had three QuickBooks files that had to be converted up and upgraded to 2018. I was doing two workstations at a time while my son was doing others and was right there. The accountant was on site and we took care of it. It was successful. A couple hours, we had everything done and it was great doing that remotely. So I am doing as much as I possibly can remotely. My clients are sympathetic. They understand. And my son has been on it and helpful. Tuesday, when I was on site with my one client, Michael was on site. Michael Jr. was on site at another client. And we had a little emergency for a client. I was able to engage Ken. Ken called them, remoted in, took care of their problems. Another QuickBooks issue, which is interesting. And I have another opportunity that I had to visit. I can't believe the new opportunities coming up when I have this bootcast on. And I don't want to miss those meetings. They're the meetings I want to take, suck it up, eat the pain, come back, and then rest. New business, I'm going to still jump on as best as I can. So tomorrow, I have a couple phone call meetings, and then I'm not doing anything on the weekend. As a matter of fact, I got my son working both days, and a lot of it's remote. Well, this way, I don't even have to do it. We have our dental office, and on Sunday, since they're closed, we got all the systems we got to do maintenance. This dental office has 13 of our computers. Monday and Tuesday this week coming up, client got five refurbished systems that my son was working on while we were away and getting them all set for all the software and everything we need. They're being deployed out in the plant for data entry in this manufacturing facility. So the carts are being built right now. Michael's going to be on site with me Monday and Tuesday so we can make this happen. He's going to do it all. I'm just supervising and we'll sit and we'll just take care of the things that I can do while I'm just sitting in place doing work. So I'm trying to alter the way I work right now. I've already altered the not going upstairs. We have a nice path here so I can go to the bathroom using a knee scooter. So I have one of those scooters where you put your knee on and then you can just move the other foot. And that actually helps. There is a homeopathic pain remedy that someone recommended today that a couple people endorsed with this. I ordered it from Amazon and it's coming tomorrow. And I will let you know next week how this is working. It's like if you have a toothache, clove oil, or you go to like a whole food place or a natural place, you're not going to find it at a CVS or a Rite Aid. But you apply clove oil to your toothache, it's like a miracle. It's great. And this stuff is over the counter. So I am going to try this and see, because it does not supposed to interact with any other medications. It's not supposed to make you drowsy. So that's what I need. I need something to help with the pain and not knock me out. I will report back on that and let you know. I'm going to continue with more stories from the trenches now, because I think I talked about my foot long enough. Adapting this injury with my business is difficult, and I am going to make the best of it. And as I continue on more and more a few weeks in, I think it's going to help. As I make the adjustments and everybody's working with me and my team is all over it, we have a huge move happening. Tomorrow, my cable guy and Mike Jr. is on site with the phone guy of this new site that my client's moving to. And I did the walkthrough this afternoon. I just can't be there tomorrow, so I'm not doing it. And then next week, there's a Fios install. I'm not going to be there. And then the actual move, I am just going to be the chauffeur. I will drive the vehicle that has all of the equipment, but I am not going to lift anything because it's very difficult to lift stuff. And it's hard having people have to wait on you to kind of move stuff. Like even dinner tonight, there was a plate behind me and I'm like, I really don't want to take it up to the kitchen and have to walk up. So Ryan had to do that. So there's a lot of things I got to depend on other people and their kindness and generosity in helping me. And you're like, Mike, you're making a big deal of this. It's just a broken foot. It is the first broken bone that I've ever had in my entire life. I am 57 years old and have never had a broken bone. Not a finger, not an arm, not a leg, nothing. It's the first broken bone. I was going to say I'm a wuss, but I'm not, in the sense that I did walk on this for 4 days. Because you think, if you can walk on it, can't be broke, right? I'm walking on it. Well, think again, everybody. Just because you can walk on it or you can move it does not mean it is not broke. If you got pain, go to a doctor, go to an urgent care, go to an emergency room, get the tests, whatever it is. If you need an MRI, a CAT scan, an X-ray, whatever it takes to determine the root cause of the pain. You do not want to make it worse and linger and go further. So that's the main lesson here. Also, if you're an entrepreneur where you're by yourself in a business and you get injured, I am thankful that I have two people working for me that can pick the ball up and run, and I'm not dead in the water, because that would be horrible if I was by myself. So that's one of the negatives, that if you're just working by yourself, gotta have an accident plan. You gotta have a backup. Maybe it's partnering with another company that can get your back in terms of helping clients and emergencies and getting on site and having a deal with someone. Something to consider if you're by yourself. The unexpected happens. More stories from the trenches. So that walkthrough I did today, all right, they wanted to save money and use the phone guy to run the cables. I'm like, okay. He said, we'll use my electrician cable guy who has all the testing equipment, and he'll put the ends on, and we'll put the wall-mounted rack and the patch panel and make sure all that's working and all that's punched down and tested. I said, but when they put the drywall up, make sure there's a hole where you want the network jack, and make sure the wire's coming out of the hole. Give me a couple extra feet. Play it safe. You should see the disgrace that we walked into today. I'll never do this again. We're going to be totally in charge of the wiring, even though it's not me personally wiring it. We're going to be total in charge, or I walk away. But this is a retainer client that's been with me for a while, and I was helping them try to save money, and I agreed to things I shouldn't have agreed, and you know what? It's going to cost them more. They actually put holes at the top of the ceiling for the network jack, and that wire's hanging out, and it's not long enough to come back down. What? We're going to be rewiring everything tomorrow and putting new holes. I met with the contractor because there's no electricity yet, and Fios is a couple days away going to install. They're going to turn around and walk away if there's no power. He knows there's a critical path item. Also, we're putting up a board to mount basically the server area and all the technology, the phone system and the wall mount rack. The drywall isn't even totally dry yet, and they haven't even painted. They are behind, and they're up against a move date that cannot change. It is unbelievable that how many different things. So today, this afternoon, I did a walkthrough and basically took charge and acted like the general contractor and making sure what has to happen next, making sure that there's going to be a dedicated 20-amp circuit for where the server is going to be moved to and all the other equipment, making sure that they have no problem with repatching the holes where they're going to pull wire back through. They're going to be able to save some of the wires, but there's going to be someone that's going to be run. I wasn't engaged enough, and I didn't push to be engaged, and I should have. So that was my lesson. You got to work closely on a move, whether they're moving to a new place, an old place. If there are contractors involved, I need to be involved with everybody. I need to be involved with the ordering of the internet. I need to be involved with the the person doing the drywall, because we're doing the cabling. We want to make sure we run the cables before they close up the walls. But also, we need common sense to know where the wires are going to come out. We should have been there, should have been marking all of that. Working with the electrician, working with all the contractors for that office, making sure that all of their IT needs and the flow and everything's going to work properly. It's going to happen. It's just that tomorrow is going to be a nightmare for my son and the electrician. They got a lot of work. It's going to be all day. They're going to get that done. I know it's going to work. And then the move is scheduled for the following Friday. The Fios install is Wednesday. But so that has taken my attention. We've had the other move that I talked about, that there was some follow-up, some work that we were able to knock out some of the problems that was happening. As a matter of fact, my son just fixed something for tonight that came up. They added another laptop that they wanted some software installed, so we made sure that's all happening. Been busy, which is good, and that's what you want. You want to be busy and be able to handle it, and I am handling everything. Going to be a large QuickBooks Enterprise project that I'm going to be involved in, where I'm going to be assisting with the estimates that are going to be created. I'm going to work closely with my bookkeeper and this company. It's going to be a hosted desktop version of QuickBooks, which I've never worked with. That means it's the full desktop version, but it's hosted. It's not QuickBooks Online. So it's the desktop version, but with remote access. That I am going to, I can't wait. There's a lot of things we're going to be working with, helping the workflow and automating a lot of double, triple entry that's happening, making sure it's going to be easy to turn the estimate into an invoice. So lots of lessons are going to come out with this big QuickBooks project. For I'm not going to talk about the industry yet and the company until everything starts happening, and then I will. Let's put it this way. It's a big tree service company. Interesting challenges. I will be definitely sharing a lot more information on that. Couple problems that I was working on a couple weeks ago that I had notes on that I want to share and I want to discuss. I was trying to remotely set up a simple backup using the built-in Windows backup program, where the user bought an external drive. I remote it in, and this is the error I got. Task image is corrupt or has been tampered with, and it's 0x8004131. What do you do with this? Well, you have to do the following. You have to open an elevated command prompt, and then you have to go to a very specific directory with the Windows backup directory and delete the automatic backup. Then you got to delete the Windows backup monitor. Then I was able to easily configure the backup job. So I don't know what happened with this Windows install and the built-in backup restore, but this seems to be an error that happens a lot. I found the answer, and now I have the steps just written down here, but I know I got that from a link, so I'm going to make sure that that link is in the show notes. Now, the client that needed the full untangle, I noticed this big uptick of Xbox Live traffic that was being blocked. I'm like, where is the Xbox Live? Well, the Windows 10 systems, and then it dawned on me, has Xbox and it's phoning home. We're not even using this. This is Windows 10 Pro. And you have that Xbox services still running and phoning home to Microsoft. Now, we're blocking that traffic, but I have a process on how to uninstall and remove the Xbox app in Windows 10. First off, that app shouldn't even come on Windows 10 Pro. It should be an elective that you install. Windows update errors for Windows 7 and Windows 8. This is the 802.4402C error that has reared its ugly head again. So I'm going to make sure I have a link on the tutorial on resetting the Windows update. And I had to send that to a listener who sent an email a few weeks ago. And that's what made me put this down to make sure it's in the show. Now that the April update of Windows 10, which, by the way, is breaking custom programs that were done with some clients with FileMaker Pro, Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, decided to change your security, where I don't get this. We're on a Windows 10 Pro peer-to-peer network on a private network, and the Windows 10 updates, as they hit, changed to public. Once it changed to public, now nothing is shared. So nobody could do anything on this peer-to-peer network. I had to remote in and change the network properties of every single Windows 10 system. And I've had three clients this week that I've had to do that for. Why is Microsoft constantly changing with the Windows 10, pushing their will upon us? And that's what I don't like. Constantly changing the default browser, this changing what our default video player is. I'm so fed up with them. Yes, it gives me billable time, but it's not what we need and want. I'm living through these upgrades, and they're coming. That April update, the best you can do on Windows 10 Pro is pause it for 30 days. We're dealing with all that rollout and trying to solve the problems as best we can as we hit them. And I know I'll be doing a show down the road with more fixes. The big one that I'm seeing right now is breaking the peer-to-peer networking. And just get in and rechange the network sharing settings and change the properties for what type of network it should be, which is private, and then you're going to be good to go, and everything will start working again. Now, this DLL problems with FileMaker Pro, we have the author of the program at this inspection company where they were there this afternoon, and I didn't get feedback yet. I probably will tomorrow on how they're reinstalling the software, and hopefully that will re-register the proper DLLs and replace what Microsoft broke. A shout out for Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. I know this was, someone told me it was part of 6 and I didn't realize it. Anybody who owns Fabs, I'm used to getting the email from Fabrice and then follow the instructions, re-download, and away we go. I love that when there's an update, on the main screen there's an icon where you can just click, it'll do the upgrade in place and get you to the latest version. It's simple, it's clean, it's elegant. I love it. And just a great shout out. This is a tremendous program. The link will be in the show notes. That is Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. It is well worth the upgrade. Just do it. If you're a 6 user, do it. Use my link, and they're an affiliate, so I'll get credit for your upgrade. But more importantly, you want to be at the latest, greatest version. One more link before we get to emails. I have a link here, how to add security questions for your local account in Windows 10. This is one feature that I embrace, and I'm very glad that Microsoft has added this to the April update by adding security questions. Now, you already have to have a password set. If you don't have a password where it auto logs in, then you don't get this option for adding security questions. But I like this because my typical Windows user who forgets their password, this is great. Now, I always make a backdoor account for any client that's mine, but I run into new clients that they don't have the password. Anybody that's setting this up, that's getting a new system, I'm going to make sure that we have the security questions for them so they can answer that and the password will be reset by the operating system. This only works for local accounts on Windows 10. First email is from Michael with the subject, came across your show searching for something computer related and then started listening, doing my monthly invoices. Well, your day is like mine and I enjoy your show. Keep up the good work. My wife thought I was nuts listening to you just talk. She heard blah, 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 blah. I have owned my own business with some customers for about 18 years, but supporting them for about 20. And they range from 5 to 75 user clients, about 50. Getting kind of tired from running the show, etc. So maybe talking about like you would work, but again, I'm 47 and tired. Trying to build someone up to help run the company and take over one day, if I can. Had 15 people at one time and now have 6. Still some stuff. Customer with wonderful different issues that make me love the work I do. Well, bookmark your page. Well, Michael, thank you. And, you know, it's hard to get people you trust. I get it. You want to be able to move the business into the hands of someone else running it. Now, the big question is, are you going to sell the business or do you want to still maintain control but have other people executing the day-to-day, which can still just cause different headaches for you? I'm not sure what you want, but that is one of the most difficult challenges, getting the body that you are going to be able to trust to be able to take over the reins of the business. And there, you have to have a tech with a business mind that has that entrepreneurial spirit, that is a good person that you can trust, that you want to work with. That's the kind of person you're going to find, and that's probably not real easy. Let me know when the other challenges that you have, email me so I can address them and put them out there for everybody else to respond to. This is from Jim. I have just started listening to your podcast. I am located in a small town. I have been a tech for many years. I do mostly break fix. I really like your show. I'm catching up on the podcast and just heard about the Chrome full screen issue. You may have already tried flags, but in case you haven't had time, in Chrome, you can get to Chrome flags by typing Chrome:// flags in the URL. There are so many good features to use for Chrome management. Some are experimental and some are tried and tested. Hope this helps. Jim, that's a great tip. And that's why I'm sharing it with everybody. Thank you very much. And I have not done that with this particular client. Oh, I have to find the link and I'm going to add it to the show notes. I'm glad this email reminded me. Microsoft admitted that the operating system has caused problems with Chrome crashing and working abnormally. I don't know if the April update fixes it or not. Microsoft has admitted that there's a problem with Chrome with Windows 10. And what I've done with people that are experiencing it, I've been moving them to Firefox or Internet Explorer or Edge, and that's taken the problem away. Really, moving to Firefox has fixed it for them. That doesn't seem to be impacted. Notice this when I was away a couple weeks ago, my Surface Pro locked up almost when I tried to launch Chrome. It was horrible. I killed Chrome, and that's when I started deep searching, and we found the article that Microsoft has admitted that they really broke Chrome. So I don't know where we are in the fix or what's been happening. I will keep you posted. This is from Cormac. Mike, I am wondering, could you talk about BitLocker and TPN? I say a lot of us guys and girls in Europe will be doing upgrades from Windows 10 Home to Pro to use BitLocker due to the new data laws. I came across this using BitLocker for the first time. Today, I learned that TPM 2.0 BitLocker does not appear to work with Windows 10 built with Windows Media Creation Tool, USB. I had to use Rufus to build it with a GPT partition, and it worked that way. I had to do a full reinstall with over 100 gig and 30 gig PST file. Do you know anything about this? No, I don't. So I would like anybody to weigh in there. I have not run into any problems with the TPM 2.0 that's built in a lot of legacy laptops and that I work with and lots of systems. And I'm using BitLocker with Windows 10 Pro with no issues. So I have not run into this. And I use the media creation tool USB for building Windows 10 on a lot of systems, and a lot of systems that have BitLocker. And I have not had issues. I haven't heard of this. Anybody that can weigh in, I would greatly appreciate it. This is from Bill. Need some help here. He contacted me a while ago about a company that he had issues with peer-to-peer networks. Well, we have now gone over to Server 2016 Essentials. Initially, everything was running okay. However, after an update and rebooting the server, he gets the message, alert details, Windows Server Essentials cannot resolve Active Directory domain names using the current DNS settings. Initially, the server was set up to 127.0.0.1, but after reboot, it would not connect to the internet until I changed it to the router DNS. And then, since that, it has that warning. Okay, the first thing I said is your DNS service running. Rebuild the DNS server that's Active Directory integrated. Go back in, and I don't know if you have that control with Essentials, but I would really like you to make sure the forwarders are set to your ISP's DNS, and then always add 8.8.8.8 as a tertiary or secondary DNS. That is Google's DNS. Double check that. I would also like any other feedback would be helpful, and I will send it on to Bill. And this is for Windows Server Essentials 2016. Last email from Dexter. I am trying to put together some best practices for HIPAA compliance. Wonder if you have any input. Most things I find are policies and are worse than vague. What I am after is what technical things need to be brought to customers' attention. Thanks. Dexter, this is a great question. And I know I promised this on other things. I have a contact that was at the last unconvention that is a HIPAA guy. I am going to reach out to him and see if he would like to be a guest. You know, I don't normally have guests, but when we get to a topic like this, it's better to hear from an expert and guide us properly. I mean, there are things I can guide you on, but let's get this done right and have a HIPAA-dedicated show. And I will make that happen. And I want to make it for the typical IT guy and what he can do. You know, what are the best books that you can get? Where is the best sites? What are the technical things? Yes, a lot of it is policies and procedures. A lot of the technical things I'm just going to skirt over right now for HIPAA compliance, you have to make sure that the patient information is completely protected and encrypted wherever it's being addressed. You have to have policies in place that things can't be handwritten. That what is the software? Is the software HIPAA compliant? The Wi-Fi, is it locked down properly? If there's a public Wi-Fi, is it truly separated? There's a lot of basic technical things that you can do. HIPAA compliance requires a bunch of settings for your password policies and screensaver lockout. When someone gets up in a couple minutes, it should just automatically go to a password-protected screensaver. There's lots of things that need to be detailed out, and I can't do that in a few minutes. But you ask a tremendous question, and I am going to seek out the right individual. I know who I'm going to ask and see if they can join me on a show. And maybe even if it's not Thursday night, it'll be another night whenever he's available. And I will put that together with the right links for the right things that will arm you with being able to help your clients become HIPAA compliant. That is it for tonight's show. Please help support the show by using the Amazon link for Carrie Holzman and myself. It is in the show notes. You have to visit miketechshow.com. In the show notes, there's a line to click to support using Amazon. It'll take you to an Amazon generic page, and then anything you buy in that session, your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to help us We really appreciate it, Carrie, from the bottom of our hearts, your continued support for the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets. That's it. Please support the sponsors. Instant House Call. That's it. I will see you back here same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.